Hey guys, I'm your host Adam McCabe, and welcome to the Gay Footballers Podcast. If you're a first-time listener, thank you so much for joining the family. I really appreciate you giving me a part of your time and giving this podcast a try. If you're a returning listener, thank you so much for your attention and for your loyalty and for continuing to listen to the episodes. So I'm going to start the podcast off with a little bit of personal news. If you've been following my personal social media accounts, you'll know that I recently, actually a week ago, had ACL surgery on my right knee. I unfortunately sustained an injury in preseason with the Georgia Revolution, my second year, unfortunately, having season-ending surgery before the season even begins in preseason. But you know, it's a journey, and I've just started rehab. You know, these past 2 months, it's been really hard for me. I've done rehab, pre-rehab for a month, had the surgery, then have now started rehab. So my life's been a little swamped with taking care of this knee injury, but now that I've got some more time, I will be able to dedicate it to the podcast and also to getting healthy. So for this episode, I had the pleasure when I was overseas in London to speak with a great man named Michael Siraj, who is the head of Equality, Diversity, and Inclusion at Charlton Athletic Football Club. And let me first by say what a title that is. Sounds like a dream title, but Michael has done an amazing job for Charlton Athletic and really, as he describes it, working with social cohesion and exclusion in different communities. And throughout the podcast, you'll hear all the different work he does with Charlton Athletic, but where I really heard about Michael and his work was actually in 2017, and this was because a LGBTQ football club in the community called Bexley FC created a partnership with Charlton Athletic. And it's a much more difficult explanation than starting a partnership. There was a lot of people from different communities who came together to help start this, but in 2017, Charlton Athletic FC became the first professional club to become really affiliated and give its full support to an LGBTQ football team. Now, there are a lot of LGBTQ football teams around the world. In fact, I play with one up in Minnesota called Grey Ducks. But what Charlton Athletic did that was so different was they created an affiliation, an official partnership with Bexley FC, who are now called Charlton Invicta FC. And basically what this means is if you watch any Charlton Invicta matches, you know, they are sporting the Charlton Athletic FC club's kits. They get to practice and use their facilities for matches, and really they've just got the backing of the club and the support of a professional club, and this hasn't been seen throughout Europe. And for me, that was such an amazing and is an amazing thing, and we're slowly starting to see other teams in Europe, mainly England, take on this type of partnership and affiliation with LGBTQ clubs. And I mean, I would love to see a team in Major League Soccer, hint, hint, wink, wink, Atlanta United, but really any club kind of do this and take a team. You know, for example, in Atlanta, we have Hotlanta, which is a LGBTQ plus allies soccer team, and really just affiliate their services and start a partnership with them and be able to reach out to the LGBTQ community within their city. I think it's such an amazing thing. And, you know, Michael and I have talked about partnering up, and you'll hear in this episode doing like a US and England LGBTQ tournament with some teams, and I'm just really excited for this partnership that I started with Michael. And he's a great guy, and this interview is really, really interesting because he loves to be driven by data to make his decisions when talking about inclusion and diversity and equality, and he really looks to reports that have been made throughout England and in the UK to kind of help base his decisions. So without further ado, I would like to introduce you to Michael Siraj. Enjoy. Michael, thank you for joining me today. We are sitting here looking over the valley, the main stadium or field at Charlton Athletic Football Club, and you've come over from the first team or the training ground. So again, I thank you for taking time out of your day.
Very welcome. It's my pleasure.
Yep. So I want you to start with how you got into this space and how you kind of got here working for Charlton Athletic.
Well, I've always worked in this sort of field, the field of equality and diversity and inclusion, for quite a number of years in different posts. Then in sort of late 1990s, early 2000, I went and did some research, and I looked at social inclusion and social exclusion in the context of inner city urban areas. And that really sort of gave me a new insight into the sort of real impact that exclusion and the other and being different had on different communities. I completed the research, and then I came and worked here at Charlton, working on a number of projects within the Wild Borough of Greenwich, which is our local authority, on a number of projects related to social integration and community cohesion. So that's about building relationships between different communities. I've always worked very closely with Charlton, who have a great reputation as a community club and for doing a lot of work within the community. And in 2013, we set up the first equality, diversity, and inclusion department in professional football. And I came along to head that up.
That's, I mean, incredible. And I love the fact that, you know, a club like Charlton Athletic is, as you said, getting out in the community and trying to change things. So can you tell everyone, the listeners, what your exact title is here at Charlton Athletic?
I am the head of equality, diversity, and inclusion here at Charlton.
I love that title. And I know this could be the longest answer in the world, but what are some of the things you do? What does your day-to-day look like here at Charlton? Again, I know this is a long list. There's so many programs and initiatives you're over, but what does it look like?
Well, the overarching aim that we're sort of charged with delivering is to promote positive relationships between groups from different backgrounds. And here we have some legislation, which is the underpinning of the work we do. And that is enshrined in what's called the Equality Act in 2010. So in 2010, government introduced this Equality Act, which for the first time placed a duty on a number of bodies to promote integration, cohesion, and to foster positive relationships between different groups. And they defined 9 specific groups with protected characteristics. So under law, under legislation, they are protected from discrimination. Now we work within Charlton with a number of these groups. So we do a lot of work with groups from different faith groups, from religions, from different ethnic backgrounds. We do a lot of work with disability groups. And more recently, we've been doing a lot of work with the LGBT community. So my work is strategic in as much as it's to try and ensure that we work very closely with these particular groups to promote equality and to tackle discrimination.
And I remember looking at the website for the Community Trust page, and I mean, some of the, I know this is very basic and generalized, but things as education, youth services, health, social action, I mean, these are all things that the trust is involved in. And can you just give a few examples of some of these initiatives that you guys are doing out here for this community?
Yeah, absolutely. My specific role is to promote equality and inclusion across the trust. And we have a number of other strands. So we deliver the youth service for the local authority, the Royal Borough of Greenwich. We have a great disability program. We work with different disability groups. We deliver a comprehensive education program. We do a lot of work with young people, older people. We work in different geographical locations. So we work in and around southeast London and towards Kent, which is in the southeast of England. We have a program that promotes health and well-being, and we work with different groups in the community to do that. So we have a very broad spectrum of projects that we sort of focus on.
And I mean, what is your favorite aspect of this role? I mean, it seems like, you know, equality, diversity, inclusion are all kind of passions of yours. So this must be a fantastic role that you have here. I mean, is there something that really for you is your favorite aspect of the role, or, you know, really gets you up in the morning to come to work?
I guess, I mean, I do really absolutely right. I really love my job and what I do. I come from a mixed ethnic background myself. So from an early age, that marked out my own identity as somebody sort of different, as the other. And that's always been a dimension of my own personal character, and I guess sort of marked my outlook on life. And from an early age, I've been quite acutely aware of difference and the other. And as I've evolved in different roles at different levels, I've come to see it as a recipient of being the other and different, to working in the field and now having a sort of broader overview of difference and how that sort of operates in the modern world, particularly in urban areas, I guess.
So on a match day, are you here as a, I mean, I know you're here as a fan, but are you working on match days? I mean, I guess it depends if there's something you're maybe promoting before the game, but can you enjoy the games as a fan, or are you usually working on match days?
We're very much here as a fan and working.
Yeah.
I guess, and we are here for theme days and for different events, and this Saturday, being this month being the LGBT History Month and Football versus Homophobia Month of Action, our actual dedicated themed game is this Saturday, the 9th of February, versus Southend, whose manager is Chris Powell, who's a Cheltenham legend, so he's coming back to the Valley, which is very exciting, although obviously we still want to win. So I'll be here in a capacity as a fan, but I'll also be working because we've got a number of activities planned for that day, and we're quite excited by it.
Yeah. So, I mean, in terms of me personally, and of course for this podcast, I guess the branch for the community trust and what you work in, the equality, diversity, inclusion, is the part that I'm most interested in and learning about. So for you, and I guess for that branch of work, what exactly are you looking at, or what, I guess for the LGBTQ community, we'll go ahead and dive into some of the things you're trying to improve, or how are you trying to work with that community?
Well, we set up and established the first formally affiliated LGBT-friendly team associated with a professional football club in 2017. And that's Cheltenham Invicta, and we're very proud of that. They were formerly known as Bexley Invicta. We were aware of the issue of sport and homophobia, and in 2017, the government published a report looking at sport and homophobia and made a number of recommendations. And when we looked into other research and sort of found that there were various targets that they were recommending that organisations could do to promote the LGBT community, and so we affiliated Invicta to Cheltenham. And we've got a number of objectives within that. So one is to provide structured playing opportunities for the LGBT community, but also their allies and their friends. So there's a very large proportion of non-LGBT community players who support the team, which is great. But it's also about raising awareness and understanding. So we support a lot of campaigns. So we support here, what's called the Rainbow Now. We're in LGBT History Month, and we're very active within that. For the first time last year, we took part in London Pride, which is a parade through central London, which was a fantastic day. We had over 75 representatives of Cholton parading through London, and we were one of the first professional clubs, local authorities, to actually take part. So it was a fantastic day. So it's sort of twofold, really. It's to provide structured, practical opportunities to play football and train, but it's wider than that. It's to promote, it's to tackle homophobia and to raise awareness and understanding of the issues surrounding the LGBT community, the LGBT community within sport, football, but in the wider community as well.
So I remember in 2017 hearing the announcement of Charlton Invicta, and I remember looking at that and saying, wow, what an amazing opportunity these guys have. And for people, or for my listeners who don't know anything about Charlton Invicta, I really encourage you to look up the team, because, I mean, they've got it pretty good. I mean, they're wearing a kit very similar to, if not the same, as Charlton Athletic Football Club's first team. They use the training grounds for their first team matches. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, wow, Atlanta United, I'm kind of jealous. I want to play in a kit and, you know, train at the training grounds in Marietta. So, I mean, I really applaud what you guys have done with that. And we're going to go ahead and really focus some more on Charlton Invicta. I mean, where in the world did the idea come to make a, you know, a football team out of this? I mean,
there are a number of teams that are LGBT friendly, that play within London and the surrounding areas and throughout the country. But what arguably was missing was a professional football club to formally recognise and support, offer their full support to an LGBT friendly team. The message that sends out is so positive, and the response we had was incredible. We had amazing response from our fans, first and foremostly. They were fantastic. Some of the tweets and some of the social media stuff that went out was overwhelmingly positive. We had the odd negative comment here and there, but it was drowned out significantly by the positivity, which is testament to the fans really and how progressive and forward looking they are. So the support we had from the fans, we also had from the governing bodies, which was great as well. So not just the Cholton fans, the FA, the Football Association, the PFA, the Professional Football Association, the English Football League, the EFL, Kick It Out. A lot of the governing bodies and campaigning groups, including Stonewall, all supported it. And when we first contacted them with the idea, I was amazed at the sort of positivity that we received. And when we launched it formally on the pitch back in August 2017, everybody turned up offering their full support. So it was incredible that people embraced the whole idea of affiliating an LGBT-friendly team.
Yeah, I think you really harped on a point there that's super important is, as you said, there are many LGBTQ teams. I play for one in Minnesota. You've got London Titans, Stonewall FC. But like you said, you guys were the first to have it affiliated and really, you know, have Charlton Athletic behind it and support it. And that's, I mean, again, such an amazing idea, such an amazing thing. And again, I applaud you for that, because again, I'm sitting over here.
Excuse me, I should point that out. There's a number of people involved, and you know, it's the club, it's the community trust, it's Invicta themselves. It was a collaboration, a partnership of a number of people, all with a passion to, you know, promote equality in its widest sense, but also with a real sense of, I don't know, wanting to sort of address the homophobia within sports and professional football. So it's a number of people and organisations that collaborated together to drive this forward, really.
So, I mean, can you talk further how did this idea come? And you say these people came together. What were those early meetings like?
Well, the early meetings, Invicta, formerly known as Bexley Invicta, they were training at the training grounds, and I got talking to Gary Ginnor, who's a player manager and a great force within Invicta, along with his partner Sam. We got talking, and what I soon realised in our discussions is they have a real passion, and they were sort of absolutely committed to sort of raising awareness of this type of stuff. I did a bit of research and I looked into it. As I mentioned earlier, the government report was published, I think that was February 2017. There was other research that I looked into, and in the ongoing discussions over months, we eventually got to a point where, hey, look, wouldn't it be great? Nobody else, no other professional football club in Europe has formally affiliated an LGBT team. There's a lot of, or there are some clubs, I shouldn't say a lot, there are some clubs that sort of support in principle. There are some clubs that offer, some recognition to LGBT teams, but not one at that time that formally affiliated with, as part of the team, as the professional team family. It didn't exist. So we drafted a paper, presented it to the board, we presented it to the trustees at the community trust, we presented it to Cheltenham Athletic Football Club, and again the response was fantastic. Everybody really positive, and they bought into it. We didn't have any negative comeback. And they said, yeah, we love this, we want to really support it and drive it forward. I think that's testament to the sort of ethos of both the club and the trust in buying into it and really wanting to sort of drive it forward as well.
Yeah, no, again, I mean, it's just very impressive, and I'll say it for the entire Charlton Athletic community and the club. I mean, again, I'm sitting over here very jealous of you know, the partnership that you guys have. It's really special and really incredible, and I hope teams, and I think we're seeing it slowly start to turn, but I hope more teams do something like
this.
Well,
we've a lot of the clubs have LGBT friendly fan groups. So ours, the Proud Valiants, fantastic. There's a guy who chairs it called Bob Harris. He's absolutely great, and he drives it forward with a real passion and enthusiasm, and he supports us. Gary, who's the player manager, is the vice chair of the Proud Valiants, and they work closely with other LGBT supporters groups throughout the country. And we've seen an increase in LGBT supporters groups, but also teams. So I think Norwich, after us in December of the same year, set a team up, and other teams, I think Bristol have set a team up, and others are following suit. So it's being embraced. People are seeing the value of embracing it, not just as a sort of right thing to do, but as a real social objective and a value to the community.
Yeah. And really quickly, I want to touch on something you said, and when you were describing the team, you noted that there are also a lot of allies who play on the team. And I think that's super important to kind of changing the image, because once allies realize these people are just like me. They like football. They like to laugh. They like to go support a team, have a beer. You know, that's, I think, when the image around homophobia changes, when people who don't, maybe don't think they understand it or see it as something negative, just get to know someone who does identify as LGBTQ, and then their whole mindset changes. And someone like yourself, who again is an ally, but is really promoting, you know, change in the LGBTQ community and supporting it. I mean, again, it's a real testament. And I think that's really important for Charlton Invicta. Yeah. Is it's not exclusive to only LGBTQ people, but it's open for all people.
We were very clear about that from the start, that we didn't want it just to be about the LGBT community. We wanted to embrace allies, friends, supporters, anybody who wanted to come along, who loves football, perhaps hasn't been confident enough in other contexts and in other environments to play, to come along. And we've had a number of new players come along and join Invicta, which is great. There's a lot of support for the team from other groups and organisations outside of the LGBT community. And everywhere we've gone, it's been embraced really sort of very closely.
Yeah. I want to shift a little bit here. And I think I read an article you did an interview for a while ago when Invicta was just created. And you spoke about, you know, homophobia. It seems like it's out of place, kind of where racism was a couple of years ago in terms of how bad it's gotten. And it's unfortunate that, you know, racism, it's in the game. It doesn't ever seem to go away, because, you know, we've seen just these past weeks the incident with Sol Campbell, and then you had the incident at Chelsea with the fan who is now banned, I think, for 3 years. I mean, you know, homophobia and racism are still really, you know, prevalent in the game, unfortunately. And I kind of want your mindset or your ideas on what do clubs, what does the FA, what do we need to do to fight this and combat it and make the game more inclusive?
When one of the projects that I oversee, the CARE partnership, that's the Charlton Athletic Race and Equality Partnership, that was set up in 1992, as a sort of this pioneering project between the local authority, who I mentioned earlier, the Royal Borough of Greenwich, and the football club. And the issue of race and racism was quite big in that era. There were a couple of quite high profile racially motivated incidents in the surrounding areas, but also some right wing activity. Some groups were targeted in the football club as a recruiting ground, and the club and the local authority got together and said, look, we've got to do something about this. And they formed a project to target some anti-discrimination projects, basically to develop some anti-discrimination projects. So they did a lot of work around race and racism in the local community. So that's back in the 90s, and in the 2000s, we did a bit more work, and this sort of the Captain Victor is a sort of progression to that. Now, I'm acutely aware of the fact that social media and other sort of platforms have given rise to a new medium through which race and racism can now be vented through different media. And the sort of your armchair critic and keyboard warrior can just sort of tap out whatever they like without actually being there physically. So it's opened up a new dimension to it. So I think there needs to be a lot of work around that. I think complacency is another issue, that we shouldn't get complacent. And I think some of the incidents you mentioned and others more recently have really brought home that we have to continue to tackle this type of discrimination around race, but also around homophobia and faith now. Faith is now a new dimension to ethnicity. We're a new dimension to ethnicity, where ethnicity, faith is becoming quite more as prevalent within football. And if you're looking at professional football in the Premier League and other leagues, you know, the diversity within teams is incredible. It's a, you know, a real example of a work environment that is diverse, certainly in terms of ethnicity and faith, and potentially sexual orientation, but we don't know because the conditions still aren't right, apparently, for somebody to feel confident enough to come out yet. So I think we mustn't get complacent, but we must also work very closely with the governing bodies, who I think do have an absolute, real, genuine commitment to doing whatever they can within the confines of their rules and regulations. And my own personal experience, having worked with them for a number of years in the context of race, in the context of the LGBT community more recently, is that they are really committed and they have a real passion to do what they can. So we've just got to keep striving and working forward with positive messages to tackle the negative, you know, social media stuff that sort of keeps getting out there.
Yeah. I want to go back to, I guess, looking towards the future. Let's look at your role 5 years from now. Where do you hope it's at? Where do you hope you're doing, or what do you hope has changed within football at that point?
Well, I guess anybody in my position in our world would love to see a professional footballer come out and be embraced positively by the whole football family and community. That would be a real sort of landmark scenario, I guess. I mean, we had a professional footballer years ago, I don't know if you know him, Justin Fashion. Now I remember him playing, you know, and it's a, such a sad, moving, tragic story. I believe his niece produced a documentary about it, and it's just so moving. And I speak to Gary about how, you know, and this is more recently, and when he was growing up, how he never felt able to speak about his identity and the conflict, his inner conflict that he had. And you know, for me, I get, you know, growing up myself, we were different sort of identity issues in terms of ethnicity, but it was never to that level. So I guess a professional footballer, a high profile professional footballer coming out would be good. In our work, I hope that the other teams, which I know they are looking at, they embrace and affiliate their own LGBT teams, and we can spread real positive messages right across the country and across Europe and the United States, I guess.
I'm going to ask the same kind of question for Charlton and Victor. 5 years from now, where do you hope to see the team? Are there any plans for maybe attending, you know, a gay games or an international tournament with the team?
Well, the Invicta attended the European Gay Games, I think, 2018. And I think they're due to go this year to Italy.
Yep, in Rome.
Is that right?
Yep, yeah, you're right.
Oh, okay. So that's great within itself. We'd like to host a tournament ourselves, I guess, at some stage. Be great to get a great big LGBT community festival, maybe, at Wembley. You know, that would be fantastic. Just thinking about that now, maybe that's something we can plan together.
Yeah.
You know, that would be fantastic, wouldn't it? So, I don't know. I guess for Invicta to continue, I'd love to see them grow and have a second team and a third team. That'd be great. And we also want to develop educational programs as well, so we can go out and, you know, deliver positive messages to schools and to colleges and to organizations.
So I'm gonna hold us accountable for that tournament.
We've just hit upon an idea, haven't
yeah.
we? An LGBT community festival at Wembley or even here at Charlton.
Well, I know, so the team I play for has looked at doing a kind of UK tour where we play different teams,
right, okay.
and kind of go, so I'll make sure to
to
bug you about
coming
and playing a game here at the Valley. Maybe that would be a
well,
fun thing.
We do actually hold a football versus homophobia football tournament. So at the end of the season, again, with the full support of the club and the trust, which is great, we invite, I think we had six teams last time. There was a team, I think Invicta took part, Proud Valiant, our supporters group. We had a team from our local university, a team of journalists, a team from the army, and they took part in a tournament on the pitch.
Wow.
So maybe that's our starting point, and we can grow that into this great big festival. Yeah. With you guys taking part.
Yeah, that'd be fun. We've looked at kind of doing a tour and kind of coming home to, or coming back to the home of football. So we'll see. Maybe we can get that.
Fantastic.
Get that planned out. Any last words from you? It's been a great conversation, and I love too how you really talk about like research and things, programs or things that the government has released, and how you use that for your work. I think that's really interesting and also very valuable. But any kind of last comments from you in terms of, you know, changing football and making it a more inclusive sport for everybody?
I guess a lot of the work, as I mentioned earlier, we do, it is evidence-based. So, you know, we don't want to just go out and do something without having looked at evidence and research, as you say, that's happened before. So that does underpin a lot of our work. We do generate information and data ourselves, so we can use our own stats to look at how we perform as well. It would be great if all clubs really embraced this agenda. I think in the current political climate across Europe, across the Western world really, I guess, you know, it really is time to embrace wider social objectives and to try and promote these positive relations between groups from different backgrounds. I think it's, and sport and football is one good vehicle through which that can be achieved. It's a tool and a vehicle to which can be used to sort of promote that. So it would be great if a lot of the all clubs really widen their focus to embrace community objectives more proactively and really sort of focused on delivering stuff that can really be of value to the local community, but also to the football club as well.
I like that. Michael, I appreciate your time as always. I'm going to make sure in the description to add the kind of social handles for not only Charlton Athletic Football Club, but also the Trust page. Do you happen to know any of those social links off the top of your head? Links to the Twitter page or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I've got them all. So I'll tweet them over to you or
okay.
I'll email you.
Perfect.
There's quite a few.
So yeah. Guys, if you want to look out, we'll have Charlton Invictus. We'll have the Charlton Athletic Football Community Trust page. Also, just the regular page for the football team itself. Please take a look at all these things. Look at the work that Michael and his team are doing and make sure to follow Charlton Victor.
My Twitter account, or the departmental Twitter account, is capital CACT _ capital EDI. And then you can hashtag CAFC. And then there's the trust. I'll have to get that out.
We'll get it. I'll make sure to get it out to you guys here afterwards.
So the Trust Twitter account is at CAFC Trust. So that's at capital C, capital A, capital F, capital C Trust.
Perfect.
Fab.
Michael, thank you again for your time.
Thank you very much.
Hey Hey guys, so I really hope you liked that episode with Michael. Again, as I said, he's such a great guy. He's the really definition of an ally. I mean, he is really trying to help promote and do good things for the LGBTQ community, and that's why I really, really thought I had to have him on the podcast and just get his thoughts and let everyone know what he's working on with Charlton Athletic, with the Trust, and also with Charlton Invicta FC. I always like to start by saying if you would like to follow us on social media, give us some support, some shout-outs, you can follow us on Twitter at TGFPod. You can follow us on Instagram at TGFootballersPodcast. You can email us at TGFootballersPodcast@gmail.com. And we also have a Facebook page, The Gay Footballers Podcast. What I would love for my listeners to do is to really hold me accountable to pursuing this tournament with Michael. I'd love to have a couple of LGBTQ teams from the U.S. fly over to London and play a little round-robin tournament with the likes of London Titans and Stonewall FC and Charlton Invicta. And I really think these are the types of things that not only will get great coverage, but will really help fight homophobia in football and will really, really help give us an image and give us some support from the governing bodies of football and soccer. And again, I think one of my goals is to see, hey, can there be an MLS club that takes on the task of doing what these clubs in England have done? It's such a great thing, and I really, really love it. As always, please, please, please share the podcast with your friends and your family. And if you loved what you heard during this episode, click subscribe on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. We're going to have another podcast come out in a couple of weeks, and I'm actually going to interview a player on Charlton Invicta FC. So be on the lookout for that upcoming podcast. And again, I appreciate you guys for your time and giving this podcast a listen. Have a great rest of your day. Cheers.